Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Not only is love revealed in the fact that we don't hate people, that we don't berate them, that we don't tear them down, that we aren't rude to them, that we do justly with them. Not only is that a revelation of love, but we lay down our lives, and that's the way we sacrifice of ourselves for one another.
If we have really made a commitment to Christ, if we are really walking with Him, that relationship with God will show by the love that pours out of us to others. Real love is revealed when we lay down our lives for those around us because Jesus laid down His life for us. May we lift each other up and show the world what God's love looks like today. Here's part two of our study out of 1 John 3, 10 through 24 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
So this is what we've heard from the beginning. It's nothing that was added. It was the very start of what Christ told us to do. It is the foundation of the new covenant that we've been given, that we would love one another. He then says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now why, when he's talking about false doctrine and he's talking about love, does he bring up Cain and Abel? Of course, you remember that Cain and Abel brought two sacrifices. Cain brought a grain offering and it was rejected by God. Abel brought a lamb, an animal sacrifice, and it was accepted by God. Later on, when Cain was upset, God said to Cain, if you had not done right, wouldn't you be accepted? So it tells us there was something in Cain that was wrong. I want to remind you, and of course, this is the first murder, right? Cain killing his brother Abel. And I want to remind you that Cain wasn't an atheist. It says he was of the devil, but he wasn't an atheist. I believe that God had showed them how to give a sacrifice. There would be grain sacrifices later, so a grain sacrifice wasn't an abomination, but as they brought a sacrifice to God, Abel brings the sacrifice of a lamb and Cain brings something else, but the problem is that his heart isn't really right. The problem was worship the wrong way, and that's what John's talking about in the book of 1 John. He says, I'm writing these things to you that you would not be deceived. So he's talking about people that go out and bring you deception, bring you lies. And they do that and they are zealous, and oftentimes they will become murderers. I'm not saying that every person that has a false doctrine is going to become a murderer. I'm just saying a lot of people with a lot of religiosity have been murderers. There are those in church history that thought they were doing what God wanted them to do, and they murdered people because they were religious. And there are those in our day who murder people because they are religious. They are not serving God in the right way. They were not serving. When they went out and murdered in the name of Christ, they were not genuine Christians. They had not really given their lives to God. And any time that we serve and worship Him in a different way, we are not being led by the Spirit. We are not doing what God has called us to do, and it can become arrogant. It can become even murderous in our hearts. It doesn't mean everybody bringing a false doctrine is going to murder, but he shows us here that Cain bringing a different sacrifice, worshiping in his own way, not having things right, was the cause of the very first murder ever. He says in verse 13, do not marvel. We ought to marvel at that. He's talking about not being deceived, and he goes to the first murder. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. This is just a contrast. Cain isn't of the world. Cain is Abel's brother. He's saying, don't marvel that the world hates you. Jesus said, don't be surprised when the world hates you. They hated me first. The world doesn't like us. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. This is one of the litmus tests for us as Christians, that we want to walk in love, that we want to love the brethren. We want to get to know them. We want to pour out our lives. We want to get to know him. That's what happens in us. When the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. One of the things that becomes new is that there is a love for believers, for genuine Christians. He goes on to say here, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's the connection. Not that everybody who is bringing false doctrine is a murderer, but they end up hating their brethren. Why would you be hating your brethren? Because you're bringing them a lie. You aren't hanging on to the truth. You're bringing them something that is wrong. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Of course, Jesus said that if you are angry with your brethren, that you've murdered them in your heart. In that section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Have you ever been reading through the New Testament and you think, I'm going to start in Matthew? You start reading it and you get to that part and you go, I don't know what that means. I don't know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm not perfect like God is perfect. And then he goes on to talk about the law once he brings that. Well, we can't be perfect. All of us know that. None of us are. The only way that I can be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect is by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me and took away my sins so that I have achieved perfection by the work of God in my life. And so there are those who are walking around saying, I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. And so Jesus said, if you've lusted after a woman in your heart, then you've committed adultery with her. He didn't do that to lay heavy trips on people and to make them feel really bad. He did it to show that everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. He says, if you've been angry with your brother, you murdered them in your heart. We murder people on the streets of Tucson all the time when we're driving. I have something that I do. When someone pulls out in front of me or someone does something stupid when I'm driving, I go like this. I don't call names. I don't shake my fist. I just go. If my wife's with me, I go, look at this. That's what I do. If you are angry with your brethren, you've murdered him in your heart. I'm going down the road the other day, and I turn on my turn signal. I look, and there's a truck behind me. I turn on my turn signal, let him know I'm coming over. That was my mistake. I should have went over and then turned my turn signal on. I should have started over, then turned my turn signal on. So I turn it over, and he speeds up. And then he honks, beep. And I'm like, I get look in the mirror, I give him a little wave, like, hey, it's okay. And he pulls up beside me and rolls down his window. So I roll down the window and he calls me a name. And I'm like, it's okay, bud, it's all right. That's how I respond. It's okay, man, it's all, I got kids in the car and you tried to run me off the road. And I'm thinking, you know what happened there. I know what happened there. You know I wasn't trying to run you, but I didn't want to do that. He was murdering me in his heart. I gotta admit, I was getting there back to him. He would have never known because I do this smiley thing. When I, oh, it's okay, no, it's all right. I'm just trying to diffuse it, right? It's all right, man, it's all right, sorry. It's all right, my bad. But he was murdering me in his heart. And that's what Jesus was saying. Not to, again, make you feel bad or make you feel like I'm not keeping what God wants me to keep, but so that we all know that we are not righteous, that we are not perfect, and we need the Father in heaven to make us perfect in order to be whom God wants us to be. So here, where he says, whoever hates his brethren is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It's not that you can't be angry, but it means as Christians, we ought not to be hateful at all. I've been surprised over the years at how hateful people can be. I was talking to a guy that came up. We were in the next door. Our sanctuary was in the children's side. The guy came up on the stage and he was talking to me about something. And the next thing you know, he's just going off. He's just hateful and angry. And I stopped him. I said, if you're going to talk to me this way, well, I said, you're not going to talk to me this way. I said, you can say anything you want to say to me. And it really goes for everybody. You can say anything you want to say. You can say anything to me as long as you say it nice. That's all that matters. Just be nice about it. You could come up and go, you're a heretic. And I'll say, why? We'd have a conversation about it. Make sure that I'm not, right? If you think that I'm a heretic, make sure that I'm not. Well, I told him, I'm not talking to you anymore. No, you can stop now. I'm not going to talk to you anymore until you can talk to me nice. And he absolutely stormed off. That is not the love of the brethren. I found out that he had been doing that to other pastors as well. This was his MO. He just got upset and he would talk bad to the other pastors. So when I saw him the next week, I said, listen, you cannot talk to the other pastors this way. You can't talk to us this way. You can't talk to the other pastors this way. We can be civil. If you think there's something that needs to be taken care of, we can take care of it. Unfortunately, he left and never came back again. But that's not the way we interact with brethren. We don't interact out of that hatefulness. That's what John is saying. He's saying if we've really made a commitment to Christ, if we're really walking with him, if we're really abiding in the truth, then we're not going to be doing that. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not only is love revealed in the fact that we don't hate people, that we don't berate them, that we don't tear them down, that we aren't rude to them, that we do justly with them. Not only is that a revelation of love, but we lay down our lives. And that's the way we sacrifice of ourselves for one another. That's the way love is revealed. It's like the exact opposite of that, that we go out of our way. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There ought to be sacrificial love taking place regularly here, not slander and gossip and maliciously trying to tear people down or bearing false witness, but really sacrificing for each other, looking to find ways to help each other and lift them up. That is such a radical, different way to live than the world lives. And that's what God calls us to do. He says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Jesus sacrificed himself for us, and we ought to sacrifice for one another. And when you see someone in need, whoever shuts up and does not help them, the love of God is not in him. I love that. And we do practical Christian Living Foundation projects from time to time. Years ago, one of our first, I think it was our very first project that we did. Practical Christian Living Foundation is the arm of our church that reaches out to the poor and the hungry and the imprisoned. It's ways that we raise funds to help organizations that are ministering in these areas. So we were doing wells in Africa. The wells were like, I don't know what they were, $15,000 a piece to dig the wells. We had chosen to do two of the wells and raise $30,000. When we do practical Christian living projects, we announce them for 2 weeks, tell you how you can give to it, and then we don't say anything else about it. Some extra money trickles in usually for that particular project. But we raised over $65,000 for those wells. And I found that when we come to you guys with a need, that we can really come alongside and help people. It happened again with a village that in Africa that we minister to. They were walking 4 miles for their water just a couple of years ago. And it's probably been longer than that. A couple years ago to me, by the way. It's probably longer ago than that. But we wanted to put one well in. We raised enough to put two wells in. When we heard of the plight of these people and how far they had to go and that they weren't drinking clean water, our hearts went out to them to help them. And that's what real Christians do. We look for ways to help. We look for ways to really help people. And I encourage you. The Bible says, when a man gives to the poor, he lends to God, and God will repay him. God encourages us to be generous, to help those who are in need. When you find somebody who's struggling and hurting and you can reach out and help them, that's the love of Christ that's really helping them. When you can come alongside of an organization, I know that we help a lot the Gospel Rescue Mission. We help them a lot because they're doing a good work in providing for people who are homeless and people who are hungry. They have a women's and a children's center. You can come alongside of organizations like that and really make a difference. And also, when God brings people into your life, looking for ways to genuinely, really, and truly help them. He says, my little children. This is something John puts throughout the whole book of 1 John, because he's like 90 when he writes this. And when you're 90 years old, you don't say brethren like Paul did. Paul wrote most of his letters when he was in his 40s. Brethren. But John's like, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed or in truth. Let us not just talk about love, but let us actually love one another. Let us actually be there for each other. go out of our way. Let us say to God, as we're hearing the very word of God tonight taught, let us say to him, let me love the people around me. Give me opportunities. Open up doors so that I can take this and I can apply it. And let it be a life-changing thing for us that we really are generous, that we really do come alongside of people who are hurting and struggling and really and truly love them. Verse 19, and by this we know that we are in the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I take it that the false teachers that were coming in with their false doctrines that John is writing against here, that they are not full of love, that the knowledge has puffed up, and that they see themselves as arrogant, so that we are to have our hearts assured by the love that we have for one another. He says, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Our hearts can condemn us. God's greater than our hearts. He says, verse 21, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence towards God, knowing that things are right between him and us because of that love that we have for each other. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to him. Because we're loving one another, because if we love him, we're keeping his commandments. Doesn't mean we always keep his commandments, but it means we are keeping his commandments. Then we know we're right with him. And because we're abiding with him, we ask what we desire and it's given to us. Because we're not asking for things that God doesn't want us to have. It's like the passage in the Old Testament that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you've got ungodly desires and you delight yourself in the Lord, sooner or later your ungodly desires will change. And you'll be asking God for things that God wants for you. The New Testament equivalent to that is Jesus saying, abide in me and let my word abide in you, and you can have whatever you desire. Ask and it will be given unto you. That is only a qualification for those who are abiding in Christ and God's word abiding in you. And that's the same thing that John is saying here, that Jesus said in John chapter 15. We are the branch, he is the vine, we stay connected to the vine, and we abide in him, and we find ourselves praying for the very things that God wants for us. In verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is our commandments that we follow, that we believe on his name. Sometimes when we think about keeping the commandments of God, we can get burdened down with a bunch of do's and don'ts. We can get burdened down with the trips that the church can lay upon people when it's not genuinely what God wants from us. I shared with you a while back that somebody told me here recently, it's so hard to do what God wants you to do. And I asked him, what's hard? He kind of stuttered around a little bit. Then well, it is. What's hard? Well, how's it hard to do what God really wants you to do? He even gives you the spirit to be able to do it. And if what he's asking us to do is love, and we say, well, I don't want to keep the commandments of God. You don't want to walk in love? Well, there's a real problem. There's a real revelation of a heart that's not right. What does God want us to do? He wants us to treat people right. This is required of you, O man, that you love mercy, that you do justly, and that you walk humbly with your God. It's not so hard to do, to love mercy, to be merciful towards people who have wronged you, to do justly, to treat people right, and to walk humbly with God. Same thing he's saying here. If we keep his commandments, we'll believe in the name of Jesus Christ and we'll love one another as he gave us his commandment. Verse 24, the last verse here that we'll cover tonight. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him. Remember, he had said in the earlier part of this chapter, if you don't abide in him, you don't keep his commandments. If you abide in him, you keep his commandments. This means that when you are selfish, when you are seeking your own way, that you are no longer abiding in him. And the way that we make sure that we're keeping his commandments is to abide in him. The word abide means to live. We make our home with him. We walk with him day by day. He who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit who he has given us. That is, that as we abide in him, we are now walking in the Spirit because we take time to be with him. And this is what the heart of Christianity is. It's knowing him. Jesus said that there would be not everyone who calls him Lord, Lord would enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there would be those that would say, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And he will say to them, away from me, for I never knew you. This is the heart of Christianity. Not what we do, but who we love. And in loving him, our actions follow. John is not saying that we've got certain things that we got to do. Now you get out there and make sure that you do them. And then you'll abide in Christ. And then you have eternal life. It's that we love him, we know him, we love one another, which causes us to abide in him. And then we have everything that we receive from him, including his Spirit. And then the things that we do are right. Those that believe that you are saved by works, and then you get heaven, then you get eternity, have the cart before the horse. You put it in its proper order. You believe in him, which causes you to want to keep his commandments and to love one another. And then we are filled with the Spirit and doing the very work that God wanted us to do. A great tragedy tonight would be that if we would come together and spend this 35 minutes or so talking about the love of God in our lives and then walk out of here and not be impacted by it. May this become a reality to us. May we really want God's love deep in our lives. And may God give us opportunities. May he open up doors for me and for you to demonstrate the love of Christ. Go out of your way to be sacrificial, even as Jesus sacrificed and gave his love for us. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for the revelation that we receive here from John, that we are to love one another and walk in that love. And that if someone's coming teaching false doctrines, they have other motives. The knowledge puffs up. They aren't coming with a sacrificial heart. And Lord, we pray that we would truly love one another and then abide in you, have the commandments kept, and demonstrate that love, that all the things that 1 Corinthians says that love is, that we wouldn't have this great knowledge without love. We don't want to be puffed up people. We want to be people who love and care and walk humbly with each other. And we thank you for this. We pray that you would do this great work in us tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.